Moses had more than likely the most difficult job assignment ever given to mankind. He had a job assignment that involved leading and guiding people that were rebellious, people that were stiff-necked. Now, this does describe us at times, though. Let's not pick on the nation of Israel here without realizing that we too can be rebellious. We too can be stiff-necked. We may not use the word stiff-necked anymore as much, but we definitely use the word stubborn. Everybody kind of relates maybe more to that than the word stiff-necked. But this was his task. And it wasn't really one that he asked for. If you remember the calling of Moses as he's walking through the desert one day, all of a sudden he comes across this bush that's on fire, and it's not only on fire, it's talking to him. That's quite an event. I mean, first, just all of a sudden come up on a burning bush, and then all of a sudden to hear him being called from this bush. And so I don't have time for that whole story today, but that it wasn't Moses that signed up on the dotted line and said, you know what, I want to lead a group of rebellious people. I want to lead the nation of Israel. No, God called him, and God helped him realize this was what he wanted him to do with his life. But to do this, it was of the utmost importance that Moses needed a close relationship with God. Did you catch some of the wording in our text that we read today? A couple of times we read this phrase. I'm going to give it a little bit of a Turner paraphrase here. I know your name. I know thee by name. Now God knows your name. God knows my name. God knew Moses' name, even if we don't have a close relationship with God. He knows who we are. We were created in His image. But I believe we see something here in these verses of Scripture that we can apply to our lives 2,000 plus years later. It was of the utmost importance that he was close to the Lord. Now, if you're not familiar with this area of Scripture, what has just happened is Moses has been given the Ten Commandments. Moses was gone for a period of time, and the people down below, while he was up on the mountain, the people down below got a little impatient. Hey, when's Moses coming back? He's been gone a long time. Hey, Aaron, when is your brother coming back? I mean, come on. Surely, you know, did he tell you how long he was going to be gone? And the Bible speaks of the fact that they were impatient, and it was specifically 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was gone, they got a little bit impatient with God and impatient with Moses, and they wanted something to worship. If you know the story, you know that they made this golden calf. Again, that's a story in itself. While they're up on the mountain, they hear the sound coming from the camp. And they say that this is the sound of war. But it wasn't the sound of war. The people were worshiping this golden calf, and they were giving honor to this golden calf that had delivered them from Egypt. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and look back in chapter number 32, just quickly. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Chapter 33, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. What a statement. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God is seeing the people, and God is seeing how they're living their life, and God is telling Moses here, hey, deliver this message. I'm not going. And I don't have time this afternoon, but beginning in verse number 4 and onward now, Moses is going to respond by reminding the Lord that these are not his people. These aren't my people, God. These are your people. I am yours. These are yours. And if the Lord doesn't go with them, and if the Lord isn't with them, Moses isn't going. And Moses and the Lord discussed the matter. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about today. We may read Exodus 33, and we read it, and we look at it, and we think, how in the world could somebody talk to God like that? Hey, guess what? You can talk to God like that today. If you're saved, you know what you have? You have God indwelling you in the person of who? The Holy Spirit. And we have a mediator. Who's our mediator? Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's mediating in between us and God. And we have the privilege in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that we may go boldly. Boldly. I read this and I think, man, Moses, you got a lot of nerve. What do you think boldly is? I think this is boldly. I think Moses is going boldly in honor and in reverence and in respect, but he's going boldly and he's proclaiming and telling God, God, look, God, I have no desire to be with these people unless you're there. And he asks God to reveal something. Notice the statement. Show me thy glory. Verse 18. Show me thy glory. Show me thy riches. Show me thy abundance. Show me thy splendor. God, I need to see you. God, this task that you have for me is beyond me. Brother Charles, could you maybe help them to know that there's a room all the way at the end of the building? Just to help the baby. Baby be a lot more comfortable maybe down in the fellowship hall. Thank you. Show me thy glory. Show me yourself, God. God, if I don't have your presence, if I don't have you, we can't accomplish anything. Now remember, we're talking about millions of people that Moses has to lead. Millions of people. Man, I have a hard time leading me. I have a hard time keeping my family following me as I follow the Lord, let alone all these people. But I believe we learn something here from Moses. That God desires for us to know Him, not simply on paper. I ask you this question, how close are you to the Lord today? How close are you? Hey, let's just admit it, we could all be closer. But by the way, we heard about it in Sunday school, we cannot get closer to God without His Son. Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is something in all of us called sin. It's a nature that we were given at birth. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And even really before that, but for in our Bibles, it goes all the way back to that Garden of Eden. And I was given this nature when I was born, but I also have this choice that I've made many, many times over in my life. I've chosen to do wrong when I could have chosen to do right. And so because of that sin that I have in my life, I cannot get close to the Lord unless I go with Jesus. And when I get saved and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior, I'm given a new record. My record is now Jesus' record. His record is clean. His record is pure. His record is without sin. And so then I assume that and he gives me that. And now, praise God, I have the opportunity to get close to God. And you know what happens? The closer that I get to God, the more that I realize there's many parts of me that need to change. Let's focus, though, here for just a few more minutes on what we're seeing here. Go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. How close are you to the Lord today? Think about it. And by the way, your closeness to the Lord, and let's back up. God has a desire to be close for you and I to be close to Him. He doesn't want us to think about Him only on Sunday. Can we just be very honest that sometimes we get so caught up in our life that God, we know He's there. But unless it's a tragedy coming in, and I'm not trying to be unkind to those of you that are going through a tragedy right now, and if you're, unless you're visiting, you know my heart. But unless it's Sunday, many times our radar simply is revolving around number one, me. And getting close to God isn't necessarily on the radar. And it's not because God doesn't want me to be close to Him. It's because many times I have the desire to please me. Do you have that desire at times? That you want to please yourself? That's the desire that we have in the flesh. And anything in the flesh cannot please God. But God says, hey, Ben, I have a desire for you to be close to me. I want you to hear me. I want to talk with you. I want to hear what you have. I want you to come boldly. Look what it says in Psalm 63, verse number 1. It says there, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Can I just ask you, have you ever sought God? Early will I seek Thee. I don't know what early means to you. It could be early in the day. Could be early in a difficulty. Could be early in life. Could be early in the new job. Could be just, I don't know, just early. In other words, let's not wait till it's late to seek God. Let's not wait till it's late. How about this? Early in a marriage. Seek God about your husband being a husband. Seek God about being a wife. Hey, when that child comes, early in that child's life, seek God to be the father. Seek God to be the mother. Seek God to be whatever it may be. The psalmist says, early will I seek thee. And notice this, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And you know, I don't know, truly I don't know in all of my life if I've ever been thirsty like in the desert. I don't know, maybe you have. But that's the comparison here, is that we would go through whatever, maybe in a marathon or a race or somewhere along the line, and the tongue, you know, starts to enlarge. And we're so thirsty. And I look at this verse of Scripture and I think, have I ever been? Am I there now? God has a longing for me. God has a longing for us. That we're, just as if there is no water, we have a longing to be close to God. Notice what he says there. To see thy what? Are you there? To see thy what? Power. You believe God is all-powerful? We call it omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There is nothing my God cannot do. There is nothing our God cannot do. By the way, there's one God. One God. There are all kinds of small gods. There's one God. The God of the Bible. And do you believe that in 2019, he has the power that he had in the days in which we read today in the Bible? Do you believe God has the power to, like he did with those 10 plagues? Do you believe God has the power to part the Red Sea as he did for the nation of Israel and bring manna down 6 days a week, have quail fly in and just fly in and you know, right into the end? Do you believe God has the power that we see in our Bible today? Do you believe God has that power? He does. But you know what? It comes when I'm thirsty for it. It comes when I have a longing for it. It comes when I say, you know what? I don't care what time it is. I just want to see God's work. I just want to see God's power. And Moses said, God, look, show me your glory. God, I've got to see you. I can't lead these people. I can't lead my own life without you. Notice the next statement there. It says, to see thy power and thy what? Glory. There's a thirst. There's a longing. Look at Psalm 138 quickly. Psalm 138. Show me thy glory. Psalm 138 verse 5. Yea. Psalm 138 verse 5. Yea. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord. Yea. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. I've never been asked to do what Moses was asked to do. But I have been asked to represent the name of Christ in a world that is antichrist. I haven't been asked to lead millions of people for 40 years, but I have been asked to live a godly life in an ungodly world. I haven't been asked to be a Moses like Moses, and I believe all of us here today, we can learn from these biblical examples, but we don't need to aspire to be exactly like Moses in the sense of what God had for him to do, but God has much for us to do in 2019, and we're not going to be able to accomplish or to do or to follow what God has for us apart from this longing, from this thirsting, from this desire to see God's glory. Let's go back to our text and let's see several things by way of an outline. Number one, in verse 18 of chapter 33, we see a bold request. A bold request. What was the request? Show me thy glory. We've mentioned that several times over. Show me thy glory. We see in verse number 10, we see letter A, Moses' duty. What was his duty? And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in, Turn back to Exodus 3. What was his duty? Chapter 3 of Exodus. Verse 10. We've kind of covered this, but let's just take a look at what God's word says. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. There was the call. There was the task at hand. There was the duty. He was divinely called to lead the people of Israel to Canaan. Many times Moses' leadership was called into question. Many times his leadership wasn't followed. But he had a job that required faithfulness. He had a job that required dependability. Turn to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. A bold request. We see Moses' duty. I see in 1 Corinthians a verse that I'm sure you're familiar with. We have something here that is our duty. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. faithful. Moses, just do the task that I've given you. Be found faithful. Church, just do the task that I've given you. Just be faithful. Aim for faithfulness. I said that in a meeting I was in last week in North Carolina, and I challenged some young people to aim for faithfulness. We can aim for a lot of things in life, but if we would aim for faithfulness, I believe we hear that statement in the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We can do, there's a lot of things we can't do, but we can be faithful. We see Moses' duty was to be faithful. We also see, though, and let's go back to our text, we also see Moses' discouragement. In chapter 33, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, surely, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. But look at verse 3. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. We read that a few moments ago. The people had rebelled against the Lord again in chapter 32, and as a result, the Lord wanted to destroy the people. Now remember, this Moses is already invested in this group. He's already been leading them. And now God wants to destroy them. We have all seen times in our life where we can face discouragement that we thought this was what God wanted, but as we heard in Sunday school, God can change His plans at any time because God is sovereign. God always does what is right. Look at verse 18 of the same text. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I believe Moses here shows us that he wanted to know God in an intimate way. He didn't want to just know about God. He wanted to know God. What was Moses praying for? For me, I look at this in 2019 and I think, okay, one thing I think of is Moses here is praying for revival. God, show me. Show me, God, your glory. You know what? We can see a lot that man can do. But you know what? We need to see God. We need to see what God can do. We can see what man can build. We need to see what God can build. By the way, this genuine moving of the Lord brings us to a time of humility. Is God going to move into a proud heart? Is God going to move on a proud man? Is God going to move on a proud lady? God resisteth the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Show me thy glory. It's a bold request. In fact, it's so bold that I will say this here lovingly and compassionately, but not everyone in church on a Sunday at 4 p.m. wants to be shown God's glory. And I will say this lovingly, that sometimes the pastor isn't even there. Because the sin in my life, yes, I'm not perfect. I need your prayer. I need your prayer. And when the world gets into my life and the devil wants to destroy me and the devil wants to destroy you, the last thing on my mind is, God, show me your glory. Because I know what that means. I know that means I'm going to have to humble myself. I know that means I'm going to have to take off my shoes because where I'm standing, it's holy ground. That means I'm going to have to get on my face. That means I'm going to have to repent of the sin in my life. That means I'm going to have to stop doing those things that are dishonoring to God. And I'll just say it lovingly, that I'm wanting to be in that glory. I'm wanting to be closer to that glory. And that's going to take revival. That's going to take us getting rid of some things and getting rid of some ways that we live for us, for God to show us His glory. And it isn't for our own praise. It's for His glory. It's for His honor. And when we see the moving of God and we see God move in our life, it's amazing how God has a way of rooting out our hypocrisy. You know, that Sunday smile, that Sunday handshake. But it's just, we're just going through the church motions. Oh, God has much. Hey, by the way, the Christian life, there's no greater joy to live your life than following the Word of God. There's no greater joy that comes our way. As we learned last time in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, I'm telling you what, this Christian life, there's nothing better than the Christian life. And it is a life. It is not a Christian prayer to get saved. It is a Christian life. God has a life for you. By the way, the enemy has a life for you too. And the enemy's life may look on the surface to be greater and nicer and more beautiful than what God has for you. But it's all a smokescreen. The devil is the master of deception. But with God's word, it's pretty just plain and simple, isn't it? I'm telling you, not all of it. I'm still learning it. I'm not trying to say I understand everything about the Bible. I'm still studying to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm still learning from God's word. Go read 3 John this week. I shared with the men 3 John verse 2. This morning God gave me something from 3 John verse 2, and it just really helped me. And you know what? I don't know how many times I've read 3 John. I've read it over and over again. But read that this week and just see how God maybe speaks to you about that. What is that? That is God's word. And as we open God's word and we ask God, please God, forgive me of any sin. And God, I want to see your glory and your word today. I'm opening up your book. I don't want to waste your time. I want to be investing in your time. And I want to see you do something. God, show me something in your word. When we open God's word, many times he reveals to some things in my life that need not be there. We see a bold request. Bold request. Number two, though. We see a balanced response. Back to chapter 33, verse 19. Now, we haven't read past verse 19 yet, but let's look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. We see a promise, a balanced response. Letter A, we see a promise in verses 19 and 20. God tells Moses that he will grant his request. Why? The answer lies in verse number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found what? Grace in my sight. Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I was telling someone today, I think it was today, but we get saved by grace, but we must live by grace. We need the grace of God to live every day. And by the way, that promise is for us in 2019. God's given you grace to live today. God's gives us grace to go through the valley of the shadow of death. God gives us grace to mourn. God gives us grace to be happy. God gives us grace to go through whatever it may be. And Moses said, there's a promise here. And God keeps his word. And God said, I have found grace. Moses had found grace, in the eyes of the Lord. A promise. Grace that is greater than all our sin. God's grace. Notice secondly though, it's not only a balanced response and it's a promise, but notice the place. I think this is beautiful, the wording here. God tells Moses there is a place by him, by God, where Moses can stand and see the glory of God. Look at verse number 21. He said, thou shalt stand upon a what? A rock. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus Christ is referred to as the rock. How can we see the glory of God? How can we experience the glory of God? We're standing on the rock. We see the glory of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, here, you go stand by that rock and you're going to be able to see my glory. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it is no secret today that if we want to see the glory of God, we must be close to the Son of God. We must accept the Son of God as our Savior first and foremost. And then we must be close to the Son of God. We see the place. The closer that I draw to Him, the closer He has promised to be to me. You want a Bible verse on that? Just write it down. We won't look at it. It's James 4:8. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God. And what happens? He'll draw nigh to us. It means get close to God. He's just waiting. How close are you to the Lord? And we see in verses 5 to 7 of chapter 34 something. Let's look at those. Chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and great. Can you just put yourself there? God speaks. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He's still speaking, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Literally, the presence of God is right here, and Moses is hearing God speak. Show me thy glory. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Show me thy glory. Just a few verses later, Moses hears the voice of Almighty God. Wow. I look forward to being in heaven someday and hearing and seeing and my faith to become sight. But oh, I believe that on this earth that we live in, filled with all that it's filled with, we still have the opportunity every day to experience the glory of God. To experience the abundant Christian life. To experience a life filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. To experience, yes, even the voice of God. Oh, I don't mean necessarily that I walk out on the morning and God says, hey, Ben. But He speaks to me in here. He speaks to you too. Speaks to us right here. He speaks to us at church. He speaks to us with other Christians. The very presence of God. God does exactly as He had promised and visited Moses with His manifest presence, and it affected a great change in his life. Can you imagine if we had a genuine moving of God in this church? And again, I submit to you, not everyone here right now wants that. I'm not being unkind, I'm being honest. Not everyone wants a moving of God, because a moving of God moves out the world. A moving of God moves out the flesh. A moving of God moves out a sensuality in your life, in my life. A moving of God moves out pride in our life. A moving of God moves out bitterness in our life. A moving of God moves out unforgiveness that we won't forgive somebody. A moving of God moves out everything that is displeasing to God. And many times, we like those things. A moving of God moves out apathy. moving of God moves out everything contrary to this book. And I'm not saying that we're aiming to be sinlessly perfect, but I'm saying that we want to sin less. We should want to sin less and less and less and less. And when we have a moving of God, and we see the glory of God, and He speaks to us, and we listen and we obey, revival, it's right there. It's right there. I can't imagine being in that place hearing from heaven. We will become lost in the glory of God. God will be our focus and center of everything we do. You see, it's very difficult. It's very difficult sometimes to have God be the center of our focus. We are the ones who make it difficult. I am the one who makes it difficult. You see, if God was the center of our focus, then every decision that we make in life comes from God being the focus. Right? So does God want us to tell others about Christ? Yes or no? Then if God is the center of our focus, we will tell others about Christ. It will be natural. You say, I'm not an outgoing person. Doesn't matter. If God is the center focus of your life, you will do everything you can, being indwelt by the Spirit of God, to tell people about Christ. Because it's not about your personality. It's not about my personality. It's about the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, that wants us to tell people about Christ. I submit to you that if everyone here had God as the center of his or her life, we would be out of gospel tracts in just a couple of weeks. Because they'd all be handed out. Because every one of us here, we don't even have to have a scheduled time, although I think you should. We have an opportunity every day that we go out to give these out. Every day. We can give these out. You see, if God is the center of my life, then I'm going to be giving these out all the time. Why? Because that's what God's will is. God's will is the Great Commission. Hey, God's will is being in church every time the doors are open. If God is the center of my life, then I'm going to be here every time the doors are open. If God is the center of my life, I'm going to open this book every day and say, God, I'm very hungry. Can you feed me? You know what God says? Sure. Got lots of bread. Got lots of milk. I got some steak. I got some T-bones in there. If you want one of those, when you get a little bit older, you can have one. He's got it all. If He's the center of my life. You see, when a moving of God comes, every decision I make is based from God being in the center of my life. It's a bold request. It's a balanced response. Lastly, we see some blessed results. We see some blessed results. Look at verse number 8, chapter 34. And Moses made haste. Now, he's just heard God. He's just heard His voice. Verses 6 and 7. That's amazing. And I just kind of looked at it again. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. And I'm not going to read it again. And Moses made haste, verse 8. And bowed his head toward the earth. See, when you hear God, you can't help but worship God. When you hear God, you can't help but say, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. He falls down before God. He puts his head toward the earth and worshiped God. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, O let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And then skip over, for time's sake, look over at verses 29 to 30. We'll get to those in just a minute. So it's blessed results. Number one, letter A, it produces humility. It produces humility. When I get a good glimpse of God and who God is, it changes my perspective. It changes my view. It changes my view of who I am. James chapter 4, verse 10 talks about being humble before the Lord. Look at verse 29. Same chapter. 34:29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables. So, a new Ten Commandments have been written by God's hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not. It means he didn't know. That his face, wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh. Everybody there, when Moses came down off the mountain, he's got this glowing face. And he didn't even know it. You see, when we hear God, and when we experience the presence of God in a tangible way, we don't know it. But others will. Moses, go look in the river. I don't know if they had a mirror. Go look in the river. You got neon face. Your face is bright. He didn't know it. The point I'm trying to say here is that if you think about that, Moses had been in the presence of God. He came down, and yes, God had changed him, but he didn't come down showing and showing off, and hey, I just spent time with God, and God did all this, but the people knew he was with God. Those who think they have arrived in holiness and humility and in the power of the Lord usually haven't. It is those who think they are still striving for that God is everything. These are some of the results that God produces. He produces humility. We must be humble to see God's glory. Secondly, it produces worship. It produces worship. Verse 8, when Moses saw the Lord as he really was, it caused Moses to fall before him and honor the Lord. Genuine worship, there is a desire to exalt the Lord. A desire for him to see and receive the glory. Not only that, but it produced an outward change. Look at verse 29. I said we were going to look at it. Look at verse 29. It talks about Moses' face, the outward change. I won't read it. He was glowing. When we walk with the Lord, I don't expect your face to glow. But I tell you what will happen. Your walk will change. Your talk will change. Your thought process will change. Your actions will change. Why? Because you've seen the glory of God. Everything about you will change. Everything about me will change. Why? Because of God's glory. And then lastly, it produced a special relationship with God, verses 34 and 35. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again and went in until he went in to speak with him. I began the message with this statement, how close are you to the Lord? How close are you to the Lord? Song says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. I'm not close enough. Now that doesn't mean I'm not his child. It just means I want to be more like him. And to be more like him, I've got to get closer. You cannot get closer without the Son. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't have a close walk with God. Everything goes through the Son. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That mediator that we have between God and man, it is the man Christ Jesus. So if we want access into heaven, it's not through Anchor Baptist Church. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Turner, if I died tonight, if the unforeseen happened to me and I had a massive heart attack, or if I was killed in an accident, or if I, you know, just something tragic happened, and God forbid anybody in here would die tonight. But you say, Pastor Ben, if I died tonight, I don't have the assurance that I would be in heaven. Then Jesus Christ can provide that assurance right now. Today, right here, we can take this book right here and tell you what God says about the matter. It's through Jesus. But everything else is also through Jesus. If you want to know His glory, it's also through Jesus. Keep standing on the rock. Show me.